Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samach Beis. We're holding on daf Samach Aleph and Beis. We are at Toshma on daf Samach Aleph and Beis, about eight lines from the end of the page, and we're in the middle of a discussion about whether Kameah has Kedusha or does not have Kedusha. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and we thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of this year. So the first discussion we're going to have is to finish up that discussion about whether a Kameah has Kedusha or does not have Kedusha. We had three possibilities of what the question even was, but at the end of the day, it turned out that the question was, can you go into the Beis HaKisei with a Kameah? So the Gemara is going to have a Raya from our Mishnah as far as what the answer to that question might be, and then we're going to have four rejections of the Raya from our Mishnah. We're going to have rejections to most of those rejections, but four rejections of the Raya from our Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to describe the different types of body armor that were mentioned in the Mishnah. We're just going to identify what's what in terms of the body armor mentioned in our Mishnah as far as going out with them on Shabbos. And the Mishnah on Samach Beis Amud Aleph is going to shift from the previous Mishnah where we spoke about those items that you're not allowed to go out with on Shabbos midrabbanan to now discussing items that you're not allowed to go out with on Shabbos midaoraisa. And then and that's going to lead the Gemara to a discussion of comparing different items that are worn by men versus those items that are worn by women, and whether there may be a different din for men and women. The Gemara is going to raise this possibility that Noshim are an Am Bifnei Atzman, that they're considered like a nation unto themselves, that they have an entirely different lifestyle and therefore are going to have different halachos when it comes to Hotza'ah. Then the Gemara is going to talk about going out with a spice bundle, which if it's full, if it's empty, and that's going to lead to a discussion of going out with pachos mikshir of food in a kli, and that's going to lead us into a discussion of agadita, which is pretty much the entirety of Amud Beis is agadita, because once we're talking about spice bundles, there happens to be a pasuk in Amos that gives musar to the Jewish people about the excessive ta'anugim that they enjoy, one of which is anointing themselves with some of these very nice oils and spices, and that's going to lead us into agadita about those psukim in Amos. It's going to tell us about three things that lead a person to poverty, and then the Gemara toward the end of the page is going to talk about musar for provocative behavior, particularly by women, but by men also, when they act in a provocative and not sanua manner. So let's begin on Daf Samech Aleph and Beis. We are at Toshma. So the thing we left off with was the Gemara was asking a question: when you have a kameah, is it yesh ben kedusha or ein ben mishum kedusha? Are you allowed to go into a Beis HaKisei with them? Do we say they have kedusha and therefore you're not allowed to go into a Beis HaKisei with them? So says Gemara, one Raya. Toshma, we're going to bring a Raya from our Mishnah. Again, it's only one Raya, but four different rejections to this Raya. So the Raya from the Mishnah goes as follows. V'lo b'kameah b'zman she'ena min ha-mumcha. We said, you can't go out on Shabbos with a non-proven kameah. Ha-min ha-mumcha nafik, but it sounds like if it's a proven kameah, then you're allowed to go out with it. But v'yamrit kameah yesh v'mishum kedusha. But if you hold that kameah and have kedusha, and there's going to be a time as you're walking around that you're going to need to use the bathroom, so why didn't the Chacham make it asr for that reason? Because zimnin dimin tzarech lebeis hakisei, you'll have to use the bathroom at some point. Vasilisyinu arba'amus purushas rabim, and if it has kedusha, you're going to need to take it off before you go into the bathroom, and then you're going to come to carry it for amos in rushas rabim. So it must be from the fact that we don't asr the kameah that it doesn't have kedusha, and therefore you're not going to need to take it off to go into the bathroom. So it says Gemara, no, that the Mishnah is talking about a different type of kameah. Our question about kedusha is when the kameah has actual shemos written in it. This is talking about a kameah that's made with herbs or roots or different types of vegetation. This has nothing to do with something that has shemos in it. You can't say that about the Mishnah, says the Gemara, because we have a brisa that elaborates on the Mishnah and says that the Mishnah is talking about both types of kameahs, both of that which has shemos and that which only has ikarin. Ella, so in different rejection of our raya from our Mishnah, maybe the Mishnah is talking about a person who's wearing the kameah is dangerously ill, so he's allowed to go out with that kameah because he's even allowed to go into the Beis HaKisei with that kameah because it's pikuach nefesh. But maybe for everybody else, they're not allowed to go into the Beis HaKisei with the kameah because it's yesh ben mishum kedusha. So Tanya, echad chola sheyesh b'sakana vechav cholashein bo sakana. But the Braisa tells us that that's not the case, because the Mishnah is talking about both a cholashein bo sakana and a cholashein bo sakana. So when the Mishnah allows going out with a kameya and not being concerned that you're going to take it off to use the bathroom and carry it, it's even talking about someone who's not dangerously ill. Certainly if it had kedusha for someone who's not dangerously ill, we would be concerned that he would take it off to go to the bathroom and carry it. Elos, says the Gemara, a third possible way to reject our raya from our Mishnah, that really it's aser to go into the Beis HaKiseh with the Kameya, but you're still allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. Aren't we concerned that you're going to come to carry it? Kivin demasi afal gav denakle biyade nami shapir dami. Since it's something that provides a refuah, even if you're holding it in your hand, it's still mutter, it's still considered a tachshit. Meaning the assumption that we've had this entire discussion was that if we're concerned you're going to remove the Kameya and carry it in your hand, then that's going to be a real problem, because that's going to be a violation of Hotzah. So says the Gemara, nah, even if you carry it in your hand, it's going to be perfectly fine to carry it in your hand, because it's not going to be an Issa Daraisa, since it's considered a tachshit, because it's providing you with refuah. So I ask the Gemara, is that really true? V'atanya Rav Shaya Omer, b'vad shelo yachzenu b'yadov yavrenu arbalos p'rshus rabim, that you're allowed to go out with a kameya on Shabbos if it's hanging around your neck, or on your arm, or on any other limb of your body, but not if you're holding it in your hand, because it is not a tachshit. It's only a tachshit when it's derech malbush, when you're wearing it. So you see that it's also to carry the kameya in your hand, and if that's the case, the raya from the Mishnah is back on, that if we were usher to enter a Beis HaKiseh with the Kameya, then we never would have allowed you to go out with it on Shabbos. So it must be that from the fact that we do allow you to go out with it on Shabbos, that it does not have Kedusha, and that you are allowed to go into a Beis HaKiseh with it. So the Gemara has one final rejection of the Raya from our Mishnah, that really it could be that a Stam Kameya, you're not allowed to go into a Beis HaKiseh with it, and you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos for that reason. Alach Mayaskinan B'Mechupa. But over here we're talking about a kameya that's wrapped up. It's b'mechupa or it's wrapped in leather, so it's not disrespectful to go into a Beis HaKiseh carrying such a kameya, and therefore there's no reason to be choshish that the guy's going to take it off and carry it for Amazon Rosh Hashanah, because he's allowed to go with it into the bathroom. So says Gemara, is that true? V'arei tefillin b'mechupa or tefillin is also wrapped in leather. V'tanya, and the Braisa tells us hanichnas l'Beis HaKiseh choleitz tefillin b'richuk arba amos v'nichnas. That if a person needs to use the bathroom and he's wearing tefillin, he needs to remove his tefillin 4 amos away from the bathroom and only then enter the bathroom. So apparently the fact that something is covered in leather, all the parshios of the tefillin have Shemos Hashem in it and they're covered in leather. We have the batim that cover them, and nevertheless you're not allowed to go into the bathroom wearing your tefillin. So it should be the same halacha by a kameya that's mechupa or also has Shemos Hashem also has Shemos Hashem. And we're suggesting now that if it's mechupa or that you're allowed to go into the bathroom with it. The Ritva raises an obvious question, that if you look at that sugya in Brachos Tav Chav Gimel, where it talks about removing the tefillin 4 amos away from the bathroom, the Gemara is very explicit that there's a difference between a klei amiyuchad tefillin versus which does not help as a kisui, unless it's a tefach tol, versus a klei she'en amiyuchad tefillin, a klei she'en amiyuchad tefillin, which is considered a good kisui. So how could the Gemara think that the or of the batim is going to help to be a covering on the parshios of your tefillin? That's a klei amiyuchad lahem, ein klei amiyuchad lahem gadol mizeh, meaning the only function of the batim of the tefillin is to cover the parshios of the tefillin. So if it's a designated cover dafka for that item of kedusha, it's not enough, right? When that's why the halach is, for example, that one is not allowed to do a tashmish al ganai in front of a mezuzah, right? So if there's a mezuzah inside a room, so it's also to have tashmish amita, for example. So all of our mezuzahs are covered, yeah, but they're covered with a klei amiyuchad lahem. So that's why it's a halachic issue if one's mezuzah is inside the master bedroom. Usually it's outside. When you close the door, the mezuzah is outside the bedroom anyway. But when it's a klei miyuchad lahem, it doesn't have a din of a real covering. So the Ritva says that it's only by the tikshel tefillin, which is meant to put the tefillin where you to put the the tefillin in and out of the bag the whole time, that's why it's not considered a kli if it's miyuchad. But if it's something that is it's never removed, the item of kedusha stays in there permanently, like by the bottom of tefillin, where other than when you check the tefillin once every however often you check the tefillin every 25 years, the Shulchan Aruch says, or something. So mezuzahs are different; it's twice every 7 years. But tefillin doesn't need to be checked all that often. Once it's sealed in the bottom, it's very rare that they become pasul. And once asked the sofer, how often do you find tefillin that have become pasul? He says, I see pasul and tefillin all the time, but usually it's because they were pasul the whole time, that they were never kosher. That they become pasul, not so often. It happens, but not so often. It would have to really age for a long, long, long time for tefillin to become pasul. So anyway, that's how the Ritva explains the difference. But back to the Gemara. The Gemara is telling us that tefillin is covered in leather, so why should it be any different than a kameya that's covered in leather? So answers the Gemara, Hasa mishum shin. Dam Rabbi shin shel tefillin halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Vam Rabbi dalash shel tefillin halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Vam Rabbi yud shel tefillin halacha l'Moshe Misinai. No, the Shem Hashem of the tefillin is never covered, because there's another Shem Hashem on the tefillin that is, aside from the partials inside the tefillin, the shin on the side of the bias of the shel rosh is part of a Shem Hashem, and according to some girsos, the girsa we have over here, although many Rishonim do not have this girsa, the Dalid and the Yud of the Tefillin are also part of the Shem Hashem, and are also Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. They're certainly part of the Shem Hashem, but the idea that they're Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that is subject to some debate among the Rishonim. Tosfos over here writes that we do not have the girsa of Dalid and Yud being Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, because the Gemara earlier in Daf Chav Chesam Beis said that only the Shin is Halacha Moshe Misinai, not the Dalin and the Yud, but Rashi sounds like he does have this girsa. According to Tosfos, that only the Shin is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Tosfos writes in Daf Samach Amud Aleph that by Tefillin Shel Yad you're allowed to go into the Beis HaKisei. Meaning, if it's only the Shin that's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and therefore it's only the Shin that's actually really part of a Shem Hashem, a really representative of a Shem Hashem on the Raisa level, so then it's only the Tefillin Shel Rosh that's also to go into the Beis HaKisei with, but Tefillin Shel Yad would be mutter to go into the Beis HaKisei with. Okay, so that's as far as the difference between tefillin versus the kameya. So it comes out at the end of that sugya that when a kameya is mechusa or, you're allowed to go into the Beis HaKisei with it, and therefore you're allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos. But if the kameya is not mechusa or, if you have a kameya that's not covered by leather, it's just a kameya that has a shemos of kedusha, you're not allowed to go into the Beis HaKisei with it, and therefore you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Because if you can't go into the Beis HaKisei with it, what are you going to do if you're walking around outside and you need to use the Beis HaKisei? We're afraid you're going to come to carry the kameya. So now says the Gemara further. The Mishnah had said v'lo b'shiryon v'lo b'kasta v'lo b'mekfayim. So what exactly are all these things? So all of these describe different parts of a body armor of like a warrior. So shiryon is zarda. Shiryon is his apron, that which he wears over his chest protector. Kasta amarav sanvarasa. The machlokes Rishonim what sanvarasa means, but the way Rashi understands it is that it's a small leather cap that goes underneath his helmet. I guess wearing an iron helmet could be somewhat uncomfortable, so you need something in between to sort of ease the pressure that the iron helmet places on his head. So they wear a leather cap in between their head and the helmet. That's how Rashi understands. Others understand that no. Other Rishonim say that that it's not a leather cap. The Rambam and the Bar Tanura say that it actually is the iron helmet, and it sounds that way from the Rosh as well, that they quote the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, the kova nechoshes al rosho, to describe what this is. So it's the actual iron helmet with the thing over the over the middle of it, if you ever see like these ancient warriors. Megafayayim amarav puzmiki, mikfayayim are the shin guards that a warrior would wear. So these are the items that the Mishnah had said that it's nisim midrabanan to go out with them on Shabbos. So now the next Mishnah, we're holding on some Beis Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. The next Mishnah is going to discuss that which is also mida oraisa to walk out with on Shabbos. Lo teitzei isha b'machat hanekuva. A woman is not allowed to go out with a needle that's a sewing needle. It has a hole at one end to thread the needle with. Velo b'tabaas. nor could a woman go out with a signet ring, a ring that actually has a signet in that you could seal letters with, because a tabal sheyesh le'achosam is unusual for a woman to be miskashet with, and therefore it's not considered a tachshit for a woman, so she's going to be chayev chatos. But if she goes out with a tabal she'ena le'achosam, she's potter from a carbon chatos, it's only asr midrabbanan, like we learned back on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, v'lo bekulyar, nor can she go out with a brooch that holds her shirt closed, v'lo bekoveles, nor with some type of spice bundle, something that would hold spices inside of it to give a nice smell. V'lo b'tzlocha shel palyaton, another type of item that she would use that would carry some sweet smelling oil, a flask of balsam oil that would mask any bad odors. V'imyatza chayav eschatos, and she goes out with these things, it's nisad araisa, she's chayav chatos. Divrei meir, but v'cham potzin b'kavelas b'tzlocha shel palyaton. The cham seir potter, if she goes out with the spice bundle, or if she goes out with a flask of balsam oil, because according to the Chachamim, those are tachshitim. So the Yisr to go out with them is only an Yisr midrabanan, it is not an Yisr midaraisa. So once the Mishnah had said on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph that a woman is not allowed to go out with the tabas she'eino le'achosam, but it's not an Yisr daraisa, it's only an Yisr drabanan, and our Mishnah says that a woman who goes out with the tabas she'eish le'achosam is chayiv chatas, so now that we've described women and rings, so now we have to describe what the halach is going to be if men go out with such rings. So amrula v'chilufein be'ish. It's the opposite when it comes to a man. Meaning a man who goes out with tabas sheyesh le'achosam is pater. It's not chayiv midaraisa because it's considered a tachshit for a man. A man has a signet ring. But if he goes out with tabas she'ena le'achosam, then he's going to be chayiv chatas. That's going to be considered a masui. So alma kasav rula kalmidi dechazilish lechazilisha. Sounds like Ula has this rule that whatever is ro'i for a man is not ro'i for a woman, and that which is ra'oi for a woman is not ra'oi for a man. That which is considered a tachshit or a malbush for an ish is not considered a tachshit or malbush for an isha, and vice versa. So masav Rav Yosef, meaning the chiddush over here is that the way we assess what category something is in, is it a tachshit, is it a malbush, is gender specific. Meaning we don't just say humanity views this as a tachshit, and therefore all people are the same. We don't make it person specific, tall people, short people, or whatever. So the chiddush is that we're going to make it gender specific as far as whether something is a tachshit or not. I mean, some people have different styles. Maybe some people don't like to wear rings, and some people do like to wear. But we don't do that. But yet, when it comes to men and women, we make such a distinction. So Masav Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef asks, but we learned in a brisa, haroim yotzin b'sakin, the shepherds can go out into Rosh Hashanah with sackcloth that they would cover themselves with to protect them from rain. V'lo rumble v'adomru ela kol adam. It's not only shepherds. Anybody's allowed to do that. Ela shadarkin shel roim. Let's just pesakin. It's just most usual for a roim to walk out that way. So you see, even a beggar that is specific to a particular subgroup of the population, it's particular to certain people, it's still considered a malbush for everybody, even those who don't wear it. So isn't that a kasha on Ula, that Ula is going to say that if things are going to be different for men and women, don't we just say people? So Ella Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, no, you cannot compare shepherds and the categorization of shepherds versus non-shepherds with the categorization of men versus women, because kasav Ula nashim am b'fnei atzman. That's exactly Ula's chiddush, that women are an am b'fnei atzman, roim and other men, shepherds and other men are all the same am. They're all considered in the same category, and therefore whatever is considered clothing for shepherds is considered clothing for everybody. So ask the Gemara, Esve Abaye. Abaye asks, wait a second, the Braisa tells us Hamotzei Tefillin, if a person takes out Tefillin on Shabbos out into the market or on the road where Tefillin are not, not takes out, some person finds Tefillin somewhere and they're not protected, and it could be a big bizayin to the Tefillin could get destroyed, but it's Shabbos and you see Tefillin out on the street, so what do you do? Machnisan you bring the zug, you bring them in one pair at a time, by wearing them. You put them on the same way you would wear them on a weekday, one on your arm, one on your head, and you bring them in. And if you see a whole bunch of pairs of tefillin, one at a time, keep wearing them and going inside with them. Echad ish ve'echad isha, and both a man and a woman are allowed to do this. But if you can say that women are not b'fnei atzman, and anything that's normal for men to wear and is not normal for women to wear is going to be a masui for women and is therefore going to be aser for women to wear, it's going to be carrying. Tefillin is one of the rare examples of a mitzvah shazman grama that women are actually pater from. Right, this is the rule of mitzvah shazman grama. Women are pater from. There's no so how could you say that a woman is allowed to put on the tefillin in order to save the tefillin from the rishus harabim? It must be, isn't it a masui? Elamai, this is a raya against ula, that since it's normal for men to wear tefillin, mimel, it's not considered a masui for anybody. Well, wait a second, just because it's mitzvah shazman grama, it means that women are not going to wear tefillin. Women volunteer mitzvah shazman grama all the time. Women volunteer to sit in sukkah, women volunteer to take lulav, women volunteer to hear the shofar. So they volunteer mitzvah shazman grama all the time. So maybe they're not a mitzvah viosa, but everyone holds, all rishonim hold that women are allowed to volunteer mitzvah shazman grama. So it could be that tefillin is different because women are not permitted to volunteer the mitzvah of tefillin because tefillin are tzrich and gufnaki. We learned back in Mem Test, tefillin are tzrich and gufnaki ke'alisha bal knafayim, and therefore it's very risky for a person to put on tefillin, particularly if a person is not confident in their ability to keep a gufnaki. That's why bizmanenu we only wear tefillin during shachris, even though really you're supposed to wear tefillin the whole day because we're very nervous about our ability to maintain a gufnaki. And so that's why the Ramah passes in Shulchan Aruch that although you're allowed to volunteer, women are allowed to volunteer mitzvah shazman grama, so a woman is allowed to volunteer sukkah and lulav. Ramesh has a tshuva that strictly speaking a woman is allowed to volunteer tzitzis. The only concern is that it's begedish, so she would have to have a particularly feminine beged to wear tzitzis. But a woman is and the other concern Ramesh raises is that most of the women that wear tzitzis are doing so as part of some conservative reform feminist agenda, which is certainly not aligned with Torah Judaism. So it would have to be done very privately as well. So that's what Rav Moshe has a tshuva about. But tefillin, the Rama says, a woman's not allowed to volunteer for tefillin for that very reason. So anyway, so the Gemara asks if we're going to distinguish between a man and a woman as far as what's considered a masui. So tefillin should be the perfect example of that. And yet we don't make such a distinction when it comes to tefillin. Says Gemara, no, hasam kusavra meir laila zman tefillin hu v'shabbos zman tefillin hu. Rameir is working with the shita that you wear tefillin at night and that you wear tefillin on Shabbos, and therefore havle mitzvei shelo azman grama. Tefillin is therefore a mitzvei shelo azman grama. Come mitzvei shelo azman grama nashim chayavos. And this shita holds that women are chayiv in tefillin. So yeah, if you hold that women are chayiv in tefillin, then there's certainly no difference between a man and a woman as far as whether tefillin is considered a masli. So there is a machlokas tanaim whether laila is man tefillin and whether Shabbos is man tefillin. So the Gemara assumes that according to Rabbi Meir, both are zman tefillin. Because if one of them were not zman tefillin, Rashi points out, meaning these are two separate machlokas. One could hold that Shabbos is zman tefillin and not Laila, or that Laila is zman tefillin and not Shabbos. But the only way to say that it's not a mitzvah shazman grama is by saying that neither, that both are zman tefillin. So that's why the Gemara has to highlight that according to Rabbi Meir, both Laila and Shabbos are zman tefillin, so there's never a moment that a person is not wearing tefillin. Of course, we paskin against that. We paskin that Laila's loves man tefillin and that Shabbos is loves man tefillin. The Gemara has such a drasha that because Shabbos is an os and tefillin is an os, so you don't need an extra os on Shabbos because you already have the os of you don't need the extra os of tefillin on Shabbos because you already have the os of Shabbos. So now I ask the Gemara, why is it that a woman that goes out with a tabas sheyeshala chosam is chayiv chatas v'otzok kalachriyadi? Granted, you want to say it's a masli, but she's not carrying it in the normal way. She's carrying it in kilach yad, because a woman normally doesn't go out with a tabash yesh lechosam on her hand, because it's not a malbush and it's not a tachshit. The derech hotza'a for a woman to carry tabash yesh lechosam is to just hold it, not to wear it on her hand. So isn't that considered to be hotza'a kilach yad? So she shouldn't be chayiv chatas. We're talking about a woman who has a lot of business dealings, and therefore it is normal for her to wear wear a tavash yeshala chosam, so she's chayiv chatos. So if she goes out that way into rishos harabim, amar rabba tirats the isha. So that answers for the woman. What about a man who goes out with a tavas she'ena lechosam? Why is he chayiv chatas? Isn't that a hutzah shelo kederech? Isn't he carrying it kalachar yad? Ella amar Rava. So Rava says, no, it's not so unusual for a man to be wearing a tavas she'ena lechosam, nor a woman to be wearing a tavas she'yesh lechosam. Meaning sometimes if they have to carry it, it's unusual for them to be wearing it ever, but if they have to be carrying it, sometimes we'll find that they'll carry it that way by putting it on their fingers. Ella amar Rava, pam shadam nosin lishto tabashi yesh lechosam lo licha lukufsa and manichasa biyadat shemagas lukufsa. A husband might ask his wife, "Can you, after a long day at work and he's been signing things with a signet ring all day, honey, can you do me a favor? Can you put this in the safe because it's a very valuable item?" So she'll take it, but she's afraid that she's going to drop it and leave it somewhere. And you know, sometimes women have like 18 different things that they're doing at the same time. Next thing you know, we're like, why is the tabashi yesh lechosam next to the orange juice in the refrigerator? Like, how did that happen? So what she can do, she'll put it on her ring, on her hand, and that way she won't lose it, and she'll remember to put it away. And the same is true by a man. Pam sheishin osenus lebayla tabash ein lechosam lo licha etzel uman lasakein. The woman's ring needs to be repaired. Oh, you're going to your work in Manhattan anyway, and so go stop by all the jewelers and go get the ring repaired. Umanicha biyadat shemegia etzel uman. So he's going to put the ring on his finger until he gets to the uman, so that he doesn't lose it. He puts it in his pocket. It's going to be gone. So he puts it on his finger, and that's why it's a way, it's considered a normal way to carry it. It's not considered carrying it kila achar yad. By the way, this idea that nashim are an am bifnei atzman, it's not just like, you know, like a Mars Venus thing, you know, that women behave very differently than men. This has a some ramifications in halacha. It comes up in a number of different places in halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan in Yerdan, Siman Samach Aleph, talks about matnos kuhuna, that that we have to give from a behema, Zrol Chayayim and Keva to the Kohen, and Kohanim are excluded from Matnos Kuna. They're not obligated to give Matnos Kuna because they're not included Bechlal Am. So by Matnos Kuna, the Pasuk says, V'zeya Mishpat HaKohanim Me'es Ha'am, that they only get the Matnos Kuna from the Am, and the Kohanim are not included. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, so why aren't women Pater from Matnos Kuna? After all, our Gemara says they're an Am Bifnei Atzman, so they also should not be included in Am, so it should have ramifications for Matnas Kuna as well. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, what you have to say is that in Lashon HaTorah, they are Bechlal Am. Hakel as Ha'am, Ha'anoshim V'Hanoshim, by the mitzvah of Hakel, it describes the Am, and then it identifies who's part of the Am. Ha'anoshim V'Hanoshim V'Hataf, everybody, women are also included in Am in Lashon HaTorah. So you have that a lot of times, where the Gemara Nedarim tells us that the Lashon of the Torah is L'chud, and Lashon Chachamim L'chud. Sometimes the Chachamim will use a different language than the Lashon HaTorah. You have that by Aninus, right? What do we call an Onein? An Onein is a person whose relative died, Rachman al-Tzal is not yet buried. That's not what Aninus means. Aninus in the Torah is not, in fact, even in Chazal, it's not what Aninus means. In the Gemara, what we describe as an Onein is what the Gemara in Brachos calls Misha Meso Muta Lefanav. An Onein is the Isser to eat Kachim on the day of the death, even after the Kavura. It's a totally different concept. But you see that words have changing meanings over time, that happens sometimes. I think Shechta tells us, they asked Rav Salvechik, why in Shulchan Aruch do they call it Hilchas Aninus? It's really Hilchas Misha Mesa Muta Lefanav. He said it's just very tedious to say Misha Mesa Muta Lefanav every single time. You want to, so they, you know, we don't really have a dinim of Aninus anymore, of real Aninus anymore, because we don't have Kachim anymore. So it just became easier to use that as like a substitute instead of, you know, a little onerous to say Misha Mesa Muta Lefanav every time. Another case where this comes up in Halacha is there's a discussion about smoking cigarettes on Yantif, in early poskim, back in the day where they used to assume it was mutter to ever smoke cigarettes. So there's a discussion about whether smoking cigarettes on Yantif is mutter. So part of the discussion in the early poskim, hundreds of years ago, is whether smoking cigarettes is something that's shavah l'kol nefesh. Is it something that's universally enjoyed? So the Ksav Sofer writes, a reason that it's not considered shavah l'kol nefesh is because the derech hanashim is that women don't smoke, only men smoke. So even though they don't smoke just because they can't withstand the smoke, sof kasof, it's not shavu l'kol nefesh. So he says, but maybe that has nothing to do with shavu l'kol nefesh, because we don't take women into account when we're assessing what's shavu l'kol nefesh for men, because it's am b'fnei atzman. So says k'sav sofer, no, you wouldn't say that. You would say shavu l'kol nefesh is something that you look at all of humanity as a whole. So this does come up, this idea that nashim are am b'fnei atzman comes up in a number of different places in halacha. Okay, so the Mishnah now says Vayter. The Gemara rather. So we are we up to v'lo b'kulia v'lo b'kavelis. So we said a woman is not allowed to go out with a kulia or a kavelis, with a brooch or a spice bundle. So my kulia, amirav machbanta. It's this thing made out of silver or gold that holds her clothing shut. Kavelis, what's a kavelis? Amirav chumarta de pilon. It's a bundle made out of silver or gold, but it like they would hold cameos, but inside they would put some sweet smelling oil. V'cheinam ravasi chumarta de pilon. He also says the same thing. Tanra b'lotetzi b'kavelis v'miyatsa chayev chatas. That if she does go out with such a thing, she's chayev chatas. Divra meir v'chamram lotetzi v'miyatsa p'tura. She can't go out with it, and if she does, she's potter. Lazar miyotsi yishu b'kavelis l'chadchila. She's even allowed to go out with it l'chadchila. So three shitos. Whether a woman's allowed to go out with a kavelis. Isidaraisa, isidrabanan, heter gomer. So b'may kamifli, what's the machlokes about? Rameir savra masui hu. Rameir holds it's a masui, and therefore she's chayev chatas. Rabbanan savri tachshitu, but dilma shalva machav yavasil lesuye, that it's a tachshit, so she's not chayev chatas, but she might take it off to show it off to her friends, and therefore it's an isidrabanan. Rabbelezer savar, mandarka lemir meisha shereicha ra. Who would wear such a thing? It's only a woman who has a bad body odor to begin with. Meisha shereicha ra, lo shalva machavya. A woman who has bad body odor and therefore needs to wear this masking agent is not going to show off to all her friends. Look, everybody, I smell. That's going to, she would never do that. So, lo asil asiyah, arba amos rishram. So therefore, there's no concern. She's going to remove it and carry it for amos in Rosh Hasharabin. V'atanya, but don't we have a brisa that says, Rabbi Eliezer, poter b'kovelos b'tzolchus shal palyaton, sounds like poter michatos, but it's still an isra midrabanan, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So how can we say just now that Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's an isra, that it's heter gomer? So lo kasha, ha, kikai yad Rabbi Meir, ha, kikai yad Rabbanan. In different conversations, he highlighted different elements, meaning he holds it's heter gomer. But if he's talking to someone that holds that it's nisa daraisa, he'll say, no, you're not chayev chatas, you're pater from a chatas. But it's really more than that, it's really heter gomer. If he's talking to someone who holds pater avalaser, so then he'll use the term mutter. Kikai yad Rameir damer chayev chatas, or malay pater. When Rameir says to him, you're chayev chatas, he says, no, you're pater. But he means really more than that. Kikai yad Rabbanan damri pater avalaser, amri yu mutter lechachila. And when he's talking to the Rabbanan who holds pater avalaser, so he's going to say that it's even mutter lechachila. So umay Rabbi Meir, where do we find the abraisa where a Meir shita is mentioned and the chacham shita is not mentioned, where he's only talking to Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Eliezer is only contrasted with Rabbi Meir. D'tanya, because we have a braisa lo teitzi yishu b'mafteich shabiyada v'im yatsa chayev schatas div Rabbi Meir Rabbi Eliezer poter b'kavel sabitzloch shapalyaton. That Rabbi Meir says that a woman is chayev chatas if she goes out with mafteich shabiyada. And Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, says she's pater if she goes out with a kovelas and it's lochus shel palyatum. What? Kovelas, mandakar shema. What do Rameir didn't say anything about a kovelas in that brisa. He spoke about a mafteach shabiyada. All of a sudden, Rabbi Eliezer saying, oh, I disagree about a kovelas. No one said anything about a kovelas. So chesur mechzer vachikatani. Obviously, the brisa is missing some detail. V'chein b'kovelas v'chein b'tzolch shel palyatum lo teitzei v'miyatzol chayev ischatas to Rameir. It must be that Rameir shita includes that she's not allowed to go out, that she's chayev chatos for going out with the kovelas as well. And then Rabbi Eliezer poter b'kovelas b'tzolch shel palyatum. Rabbi Eliezer says she's not allowed to go out with it. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer says she's potter from going out with it. He happens to hold its mutter as well, but since Rabbi Meir said chayiv, Rabbi Eliezer says potter. So he said, when does Rabbi Eliezer say you're potter? If there's some sort of spices inside the kovelas or shemen inside the tzlochis, so then it's a tachshit. But if there's nothing that smells nice inside of it, then she's going to be chayiv for carrying the flask itself. This seems to parallel a case of carrying food that's pachos mikashir, that you'd be chayiv for carrying the food inside of a kli, that you're going to be chayiv for carrying the kli. That even though the kli is tuffel to the tiny bit of food that's inside of it, and you're only carrying it because of the food that's inside of it, you're still going to be chayiv for carrying the kli. Well, the same thing over here. If you have a flask that has this delicious smelling oil, so even if, and then you empty it of the oil, the only reason you're carrying the flask is because it still has some of the smell, some of the remnant of the odor of that oil. So you're not carrying it for the flask, you're carrying it for the oil. So it's the equivalent of pachas mikashir of food. If a flask doesn't have the bosom in it, it's like pachas mikashir of food, v'katani chayeves, and it still says that you're chayev. So it says, no, the two cases are not comparable. Rav Ashi and Rabbi Alma, emelach pater, v'shayni hacha, delesi the mamasha klal. That is, if you have pachas mikshir of food, at least there's some food in the flask, and maybe that you're patur for the flask, because the ikur is that you're carrying the food, and the flask is totally tafel to the food. But when you have a flask that used to have oil, and then you emptied all the oil, granted it has some smell from the oil that used to be there, but there's zero mamashos left. There's zero mamashos of the oil left, and therefore you're going to be chayiv for carrying the flask itself. Good. So once we talk about these nice smelling oils, so we're going to quote a pasuk in Amos, or a series of pasukim, where we discuss the mussar that was given to the Jewish people who are not paying attention to the nevuos about all the tragedy that's going to befall them because they're too busy indulging in ta'anugim. So v'reishis shmanim mshachu, they're going to anoint themselves with these with the most expensive oils. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, ze palyaton, that's shemen aparsimon, that's palyaton, the type of oil that we're referring to. Masav Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef asks, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, there were many things that they made a gzeira against that you're not allowed to indulge in because we have sadness over the Churban Bayis. So Afal Palyatam Gaz Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava v'lo hodu lo, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava wanted to make a gzeira not to use Palyatam, but the Chachamim wouldn't agree to such a gzeira. V'yam Mishum Tainagam Milo hodu lo, but if its only function is just absolute indulgence, why wouldn't the Chachamim agree to such a gzeira? It seems like a very reasonable thing to make a gzeira about. Amalei Abayi L'temei Chaduch Siv Hashosim B'mizrake Yayin Rabbi Yam Rabbi Asi Chad Amar Kinish Kanin V'chad Amar Shemizrakin Kosein Zel Zeh Hachin Amida Asir. You know, the pasuk also says in the beginning of the Tocha that one of the Tanugim that they had was at the beginning of the Musar in Sefer Amos. One of the Tanugim that they had was the Shosim B'mizrake Yayin. And what does that mean? Either it's some sort of fancy kli that many people could drink wine out of the same kli at one time because it has many different spouts to it, or it's talking about some type of ability to throw kosos to each other without spilling any of the wine, so that should be usher as well because that also is a tanug. And Harabba Baravuna Iklal Beresh Kalusa V'Shasa B'Kinish Kanin V'Lo Amalei V'Lo Midi. And Rabbi Baravuna would drink from, but went to the Resh Kalusa and he didn't say anything when the Resh Kalusa was drinking from such kelim. Ela Kol Midi Dispei Tanug V'Ispei Simcha Gazra Rabbanan Midi Dispei Tanug V'Lespei Simcha Lo Gazra Rabbanan. It's only something if something is both an oneg and simcha, that's when the Rabbanah made a gzeira. If it's one or the other, the Rabbanah did not make a gzeira, which is fascinating because we see that there's a difference between those two concepts of ta'anug versus simcha, of oneg versus simcha, right? That's a major discussion. Is there such a mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos, right? There's such a mitzvah of oneg Shabbos for sure. That's a beferish in Navi Shayo, but is there such a din of simcha on Shabbos? It doesn't say that explicitly. Simchas yomtov, yeah, that's beferish in the Torah. Is there such a din of oneg of yantif, and then what exactly is the gedder of the difference between them? For example, the halacha is that if a person enjoys food that is not meat, normally for oneg Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to have meat for Shabbos. What if you don't like meat? You're a vegetarian. You don't enjoy meat at all. So is there, or you just stam, don't like meat that much. So then the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos is fulfilled without meat. But in yantif, ain't simcha el babasar. Simcha is different, has different definitions than oneg. So the Musr continues that they're lying on these ivory beds, and so Amar Rabbi Yosef Arumim. It means that they would urinate in front of their beds, exposing themselves. So Megadif Rabbi Yavo Ihachi Haynu Dechsiv Lachenati Yiglu Brosh Golim. That's why their punishment is that they're the first out into Golus. Mishum Demashir Ma'im Befleim Mitzayim Arumim Yiglu Brosh Golim. That seems a little harsh for just urinating in front of their beds. Elam Rabbi Yavo Oh, did we say urinate in front of the beds? We meant wife swapping. Oh, okay. So now you understand. That's going to be a lot worse that they're behaving in such a way with other people's wives. And their beds are full of somebody else's shikva zera. Three things lead to poverty. One is urinating unclothed in front of his bed. Not being careful about nitil sidayim for a suda. And his wife gets so angry at him that she curses him in front of him. So let's elaborate on each one. That's only when he faces toward his bed. That's disgusting. But he faces the other way. That's not disgusting, and therefore it won't lead to anius. And even that is, so when you're facing the bed, is only if one is urinating on the ground. But if it's into a kli, then it's not a chashash anius. It's not so disgusting. That's only if you, mizalzal means you don't do it at all. But if you wash somewhat, meaning you don't wash with that much water, so you're not treating it with the respect it deserves, but you're doing it, then we don't have to be choshesh for anius. But there's still the minhag is to overflow the kos to show because that's a simen bracha. V'lav milsihi, but it's not correct. Says Gemara, Damar Rav Chista, Anam Ashayi Melo Chafni Maya. I wash with V'yavali Melo Chafni Tivusa. I wash with excessive amounts of water, and therefore I receive excessive amounts of bracha, and that's our minhag. V'sheishto mekalalto b'fanav. What does it mean that his wife curses him in front of him? Amar Rava al iske tachshiteh, that he doesn't buy her enough tachshitim. V'ani mili u'dislev lo avid, and that's only a problem if he has what to buy her, but he chooses not to do it. He chooses to save his wealth for other things instead of his wife. What does the pasuk mean that because the Bnos Tzion were gavu? What avera is that? That they were gavu? That they elevated? They would walk in a very arrogant way with an upright stature, with an outstretched neck. That means they would walk like a catwalk, kind of there with their heel right in front of their toe. They would put all sorts of makeup around their eyes and would make eye motions to young men. And they would dafka put themselves in a position where they would look more attractive. So a very tall woman would stand right next to a very short woman to get attention. They will put all sorts of perfumes in their shoes, and they go out to the markets of Yerushalayim. And when they would see young men, they would stamp their feet a little bit, and the smell of these perfumes would go out and would be intoxicating for these young men, and it would be megarah their yetzer hara. So that's why these women receive this musar for acting in such a pritzistic way. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with my peranusehem of these women. So we'll pick up with that tomorrow. Everyone should have a great day.